Okay, it's 7 o'clock, so I am going to call to order the meeting of the Gail Borden Public Library Board of Trustees for December 8th, 2020. This is a virtual meeting. This meeting will be conducted by video conference without a physically present quorum of the Gail Borden Public Library District Board of Trustees as allowed by state law. The board president determined that an in-person meeting is not practical or prudent. In lieu of in-person comments, attendees can submit their comments via email to public_comment@gailborden.info by 5 p.m. tonight. And these comments will be read during the public comment portion of the meeting. So we're ready to start. Do we have anybody that wants to...
Roll call.
Oh, I'm sorry. Put that on here. Roll call. Let's have that first.
Garcia?
Here.
Gross. Harkin.
Here.
Henderson.
Here.
Kokoris.
Here.
Kruger.
Here.
Bednar.
Here. Okay. Number two, public comment. Do we have anybody waiting to speak?
Yes, I do have somebody raising their hand. I'm going to allow them to talk.
Okay.
All right. We have a caller. If you unmute, you can talk.
Hello? Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. This is Randy Hopp. I'd like to make a comment that your employee, the CEO, has mentioned in a previous meeting this year that there would be no raises for any of the employees until after the first of the year, the first of January 2021. And yet she's on this meeting's agenda in December 2020 to get yet another raise, and she's already getting $200,000 or more. She wants more money while she's delivering dramatically less service. That is obscene. That's enough.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Hobb. I was timing on my watch there. Okay, if there's no one else waiting to speak, I do have, I think I have two things that were sent to me via the email. Let me just make sure. I mean, I know they're not supposed to come in before or after 5 o'clock, but I don't have anything new. So I will read, and one of them kind of long. Hang on. Okay. The first one is from Jack Werner, W-E-R-N-E-R, to whom it may concern. I am a member of the Elgin community. In light of the recent decision to close the library completely during the winter season due to the influx of COVID-19 cases, I would like to interject my thoughts. While I am fully aware of the risk the virus poses and completely understand the public health measures the state is advising us to implement, I don't believe the Gail Borden Library of Elgin is a high-risk institution and does not need to close completely. Prior to closure, I saw that employees were diligent in maintaining cleanliness and enforcing mask wearing. Because of the fact that it is a publicly funded institution that serves a public function, the decision to close completely for the next several months is not at all a smart one. Children trying to complete e-learning requirements, high school students and adults in college who utilize the library as a safe haven free from the struggles at home where they can concentrate more, and the houseless community members are the most prominent groups who will suffer the most because of this closure. It does not seem like a challenge for this library to enforce COVID-19 restrictions like mask wearing and social distancing while simultaneously ensuring patrons enjoy the amenities of the facility to the safest extent. I would also like to voice my dislike for the current library director, Carol Meadow. It seems as though she has consistently abandoned the function of the library as an institution that is dedicated to serve the public. From my perspective, it seems as though Ms. Meadow is simply there to collect a paycheck. Has she even thought about the vulnerable individuals of our community that this shutdown could affect? Has Ms. Metal forgotten the entire purpose of a public institution such as the library? I would say, based on her recent decision to shut down the library, would be yes. I find it extremely difficult to believe that Ms. Metal prioritizes the library and its patrons. I think she failed as an administrator in properly preparing herself and her employees for a more social distanced library. She should have taken the time between the reopening of the library in the summer to now to prepare for continued library operation with safer service practices. Instead of immediately opting for a closure that has now affected many in the community, to be quite honest, she is absolutely useless and the board of directors is complacent in her apathy. She is unfit for her position and it is time to seek out an individual more suited for the library director position. In the most recent board meeting, I noticed that she lacked connection with the day-to-day functions of the library. I understand that a library director is focused on long-term goals of the institution. However, I believe it is vital that she understands what her employees face on a day-to-day basis and knows the interests of the customers who visit the library. In that meeting, what I found inspiring were the employees who advocated for the customers they interact with regularly and supported keeping the library open in order to help those who need it most during these difficult times. What I failed to see was a director who understood what those employees understood. Those employees saw the importance in maintaining equitable access to community members. I ask you to be just as brave as those employees were in advocating for the people, and instead of solely listening to Carol, you focus on the community you were elected to support. A note for the library administration I have is to be more diligent in understanding the community's needs. After all, that is what a library is intended to be, and to take advantage of the excellent staff that you have. I've visited the library several times and enjoy using it as a healthy place to study. Each time I am welcomed by many kind workers who are always excited to help no matter the circumstance. I hope this letter serves not as a contentious critique of the leadership at the Yale Board and Library, but instead as a motivator for you, the board, and the administration to do better in the future for your employees and your community. Because this letter came in, I think on the 7th yesterday, I responded to it already and I'm going to read my response. Mr. Werner, your concerns are duly noted, but please understand that the board fully supports the closure of the library buildings. As you may know, City Hall, as well as many other local public indoor spaces, have closed in response to the Illinois Department of Health's daily reports of the extremely high COVID positivity rate in this area, as well as the governor's Tier 3 resurgence mitigation requirements. This was not a decision made by one person, and it was not made lightly. Additionally, it is important to know that library services are not shut down just because the buildings are closed temporarily. I have checked with staff to be sure that this partial list is accurate. The library staff is working hard to continue to offer drive-up services and curbside loan of materials, one-on-one virtual services for a myriad of things, very popular virtual programming for all ages, and home delivery for all who request it, to name just a few things. The bookmobile is still out there delivering materials to customers safely through the windows. Staff are fulfilling the public's request for printed copies and enabling DVD pickup at the drive-through window. When our CEO, Carol Metal, asks other members of the staff to speak during the board meeting, she is not showing a disconnection from staff, but an openness to invite those closest to situations to speak, empowering them to answer the questions of the public. She absolutely knows and understands what library employees are facing daily, and is certainly aware of how many people on the library staff have already contracted COVID. Our collective decision was made to ensure a safe environment for the staff and public versus taking a risk by keeping our buildings open to everyone. Mr. Werner, the decision to temporarily close was difficult, but the board and Carol Metal prioritized safety. I am certainly grateful to have a very competent, professional, seasoned CEO who was able to listen to all the components of our current problem and work with the board to do what is best in a situation we have never before imagined, let alone experienced. Thank you for your comment, but we must respectfully disagree with your framing and your characterization. Jean Bednar, board president. Okay, the other note that I got on email today came from Aaron Donlin. Passport Services Manager. Hello, and thank you for your willingness to make the difficult decisions about library services during COVID-19. During the last board meeting, there was some discussion about the needs of students doing remote learning at the library. I, too, am concerned about the needs of this group, but from what I have seen on the second floor of the main library, they are not using library computers. Their needs appear to be for a quiet space and possibly Wi-Fi. This is the same resource needed by many in our community, including adult learners, remote workers, and people who simply need somewhere to go during the day, including those who are homeless. I am not comfortable with the library judging the legitimacy of that need for anyone. I ask that whenever you decide it is safe to begin reopening the library, any services or resources that are made available are open to anyone in the community. We should limit based on capacity and safety, but not based on who wants to use the resource or their reasons why. Thank you again for your leadership and careful consideration, Erin Godlin. And that is all I have for tonight. And I will make sure those are put in the record. Okay. All right, let's move on to number 3, minutes. I will accept a motion to approve the November 10th, 2020 regular board meeting minutes as presented. Did everyone read the regular board meeting minutes?
Yes.
Okay.
So moved.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. Do we have any discussion about the minutes of the regular board meeting? Okay. Roll call.
Garcia?
Yes.
Gross? Harkin?
Yes.
Henderson?
You're muted, Tiffany.
Here.
Yes.
Forrest?
Yes.
Kruger?
Yes.
Bednar?
Yes. Okay, and as you all recall, we had a special board meeting in November, so I will accept a motion to approve the November 18, 2020 special board meeting minutes as presented.
So moved. All right. Give it to Joe.
Okay, we have a motion. I need a second.
Wait a second.
Okay. Any discussion on the minutes of the special board meeting? Okay, roll call.
Garcia?
Yes.
Harkin?
Yes.
Henderson?
Yes.
Kokoris?
Yes.
Kruger?
Yes.
Bednar?
Yes. Alrighty. Number 4. Treasurer's report. Madam Treasurer.
Yes, I'd like to make a motion to approve payment of the revised list of bills to be paid between the December 8th, 2020 and January 12th, 2021 board meetings, as well as the bills to be paid at the December 8th, 2020 board meeting in the amount of $259,779.97, including those bills over $10,000 each.
Okay, we have a motion. Need a second?
Second.
Good job.
Nobody's saying anything because they want John to get it. Okay. What's happening here? Okay. Okay, we have a motion and a second. Does anyone have any questions or comments about the bills? Okay.
Garcia?
Yes.
Harkin?
Yes.
Henderson?
Yes.
Kokoris?
Yes.
Kruger?
Yes.
Bednar?
Yes. All right. Correspondence. Do we have any correspondence? Nothing?
Nothing.
Oh, okay. Well, cross that off the list. Okay, reports. We have a CEO report.
Okay.
Well, the activity remains fairly high despite our building closures. Drive up use has gone back up as well as use of e-resources. We, if you read your reports, we began a new service of offering remote printing to customers whereby they can pick it up at our drive-up windows. Staff will print out up to 20 pages for free. And in 10 days at the main building alone, we printed 155 jobs, which equaled 356 pages for pickup. So we're really happy that this is working out so well and helping so many people. Our home services served 105 customers in November, providing around 600 items to them. Staff have also been on site at Northern Illinois Mobile Food Pantry, while others are supplying much needed food to hundreds of people. We are providing other resources to them, including books for children. And Jean mentioned before, you know, have you seen the incredible presentation that our public relations and development department produced? The virtual holiday hunt, and featuring a virtual 360-degree tour of our buildings decorated for the holidays. It keeps visitors engaged with fun and challenging games and tours of all three buildings and bookmobile, while showcasing library services as well as holiday offerings throughout the community. We created a four-page newsletter that highlighted this year's impacts of our library foundation to support literacy, including the purchase of the Sprinter van to increase outreach in the community, and the new school year reading program, which, by the way, currently has 109 participants who have read over 79,000 minutes. The newsletter also expressed our gratitude for all the generous donations received, and this was mailed, the newsletter was mailed to more than 300 donors. It was also available via our online Gale Mail, a newsletter, and it was posted to the foundation webpage. The most watched programs this month were, what was number one? You just talked about it.
The
Hot Chocolate Fountains of Zelda, yes. With over 6,000 video views and more than 100 people tuned in to watch the program live. The other two top programs were children's programs presented by Katie Clawson, Wiggle Pop-Up Storytime, which had 4,500 video views, and Preschool Storytime with Katie with 2,700 views. The other interesting thing that Pratt is doing or has done is they found that local organizations and nonprofits were finding it challenging to communicate their information to the community during this time of COVID. Several of these organizations had contacted the library asking for help in getting information to local residents. In response, Pratt created and is maintaining a virtual community bulletin board with local events and programs from nearby organizations, information about volunteer opportunities, links to local restaurants, food resources, and COVID testing sites have been posted. And that is at galeborden.info/community-news. So we just love it when we can provide so much for the community. You know, we're all about information and where they can go for the information, and seeing the need, and we're filling it. Our security team now has new digital communication radios, which allow them to communicate internally at all three buildings. Previously, they had to have separate radios for all the facilities. The security camera project is proceeding on plan, and we have replaced, upgraded, or added over 70 cameras up to this time in all three buildings. South Elgin is completed. I wanted to just mention some of our professional achievements from our staff. In KidSpace, Tabitha Anderson has been selected to serve on the Association for Library Services to Children, which is a division of American Library Association, on the Notable Children's Digital Media Committee. Katie Clawson will serve in the same association on the Notable Children's Recording Committee. Community Services and Program Development Division, Lana Gadowski, along with David Kelsey, who's from the St. Charles Public Library, presented a Public Library Association webinar, Serving Seniors in a COVID-19 World, and it was attended by over 500 participants nationwide. The Interfaith Discussion Educational Programs to Promote Well-Being and Design by Sadia Ahmed, facilitated by Tish Kalamer, were selected to be featured in the American Library Association's new publication on virtual programming, which is due to be released in early 2021. In Neighborhood Services, Danny Wright, assisted by Anna Devine, had an article published, which was featured in the Association of Bookmobile and Outreach Services quarterly newsletter entitled, Oh Dear, D-E-E-R, Maintaining a Positive Outlook When Things Go Horribly Wrong. It recounts their infamous journey to the ABOS conference in Omaha, Nebraska, when a deer ran into the bookmobile and how they stayed positive throughout that entire ordeal. I also wanted to bring the board up to date here on salaries on the staff. As you know, no raises were given in July. It was felt just not a good time to be giving raises when so many people in our community were unemployed and we had been closed to the public for 3.5 months. However, it's important that we now must move forward. We have another benchmark here in January with the minimum wage going up. Every single year now it's going to be going up, and that affects all of our staff. It's not just the bottom, it affects everyone, and so that we don't have salary compression, where if the minimum keeps going up and if we don't move the others up, then that minimum is going to move right into the higher level positions. So the minimum wage, as I said, will be increasing to $11 on January 1st. We will not change our base salary, though. So that's why I'm not passing out the salary ranges like we normally do in May, because we're not going to be changing any of the base salaries except the minimum wage. And the reason for this is so that we can get our staff up on that range higher. Otherwise, an current employee below the base would be moved to the base, and a new employee starting, they would start at the base. So we have to, I want to move them up on the range before we change those salary ranges. I budgeted for 5% for all staff who have been in their current positions prior to July of this year. Receiving the raise is based on their work performance. So evaluations are taking place, have been taking place these last couple of months during this time. So those raises would be effective January 1st. Are there any questions on that?
Yes. Because when you say 5%, does that mean that you have a total of 5% and the various administrators have that money to distribute as they see fit to individuals, or is that everybody gets a 5% raise?
Well, not everyone will. Again, it's based on work performance.
Okay, that's
So most people, I will say, will get a 5%. We also have what is called an exceptional work award, and that goes to employees that have gone above and beyond. It's a one-time amount that is given to them. And so we have a few employees that have just really gone above and beyond, and they will be receiving an employee work award besides a raise. And again, there will be a few that have not achieved that 5%. So this is what the evaluations, and of course, our managers and directors do not wait until the end of the year, or don't wait until evaluation time. They're working with an employee that needs this assistance throughout the year. You know, so there's no surprises, if an employee is not
performing at the level that the manager would like to see, that it's no surprise at the evaluation time because they have been working with them prior to that time.
Thank you. Any other questions about that? Or is that all you have on that, Cheryl?
Yeah, that was the extent of my report.
Okay. Well, let's move on. Then we have a security report, I think.
Yes.
One little thing on it, so. Sorry, shuffled my papers here. Okay. I will accept a motion to accept the security report as presented.
So moved.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. Everyone sees the security report in their package. Pretty straightforward. Any questions? Okay, roll call.
Garcia?
Yes.
Harkin?
Yes.
Henderson?
Yes.
Kokoris?
Yes.
Krueger?
Yes.
Bednar?
Yes. All right. Next, we have COVID update on here. And I believe last month when we, at our special meeting, when we voted to close the library to the public inside, we said it would be through December 13th. Yeah. So that we could discuss at this meeting whether we want to keep going beyond that date or not.
I'll just preface some things here, Jean.
Okay.
The things that have gone on here this month, which are the direct result of COVID. You know, although perhaps you've heard in the news that the CDC modified the quarantine guidance from 14 days to 10 days or 7 days. 10 days or 7 days with a negative test, whatever. But we are keeping our procedures to 14 days. The CDC still recommends that a 14-day quarantine is still the best way to reduce risk. So we will not be changing that. As an ongoing safety precaution, our complete cleaning company performed electrostatic misting at all 3 buildings. The system and chemical used is medical grade, EPA certified to kill COVID-19 along with many other viruses. We have now converted one of our 4 air handling units to operate using the MERV 14 air filters. Perhaps you've heard about that. Well, Dave actually talked about that at a previous meeting. This is the minimum that is used in hospitals and other medical facilities. We hope to have all 4 of our units, air handling units, converted to the MERV 14 air filters by early 2021. As the library closes doors on November 20th, IT again shifted to prepare equipment for staff to enable them to work at home. We also premiered an online job board for staff, which was a brilliant idea put forth by our new volunteer manager, Jeannie Ziegler, who previously worked in customer relations. Great idea. Departments list their jobs online that they need done, and staff can select what they would like to do. Some of these jobs are in the building, but a lot of them are for home. And this keeps our staff busy and able to fulfill their regular work schedules without losing pay. While the library buildings are closed, to the public, KCT Credit Union remains open at Main Library using the separate entrance there by it, and then of course South Elgin, which has basically its own entrance. So they continue to be open. Now, in recent days, the governor, perhaps you've heard him state that it will be weeks before he rolls back the Tier 3 resurgence mitigation requirements. The board's action in November, close the buildings, as Jean said, to December 14th. The concerns from medical professionals is great that more cases will flood our hospitals due to the Thanksgiving, Kwanzaa, Christmas, and New Year's holidays with gatherings of people. So because of this, the board may want to consider expanding the closure longer to keep people safe. So I think this is something, that's why this is an action item, if in fact the board does want to extend that time. So, and we'll leave it for the board now to discuss what you think.
Does anyone want to give any input here? I feel like it's a kind of a no-brainer to kind of go month to month right now.
Yeah, I agree. I think that we should continue to keep the library closed to the public for at least through December, so that we, you know, because we're not going to, you know, Bristol will be in Tier 3, and the governor has no intention on releasing in the near future. We need to, you know, we can, you know, look at this again in January. And for the record and for all those who are paying attention, we as the board agree fully with what Carol said and what Jean said. It is our recommendation that we keep the library closed. This is not a dictatorship by Carol, but we all agree and assert. And I just want to make sure that is abundantly clear for everyone who is listening. This is our decision that the library be closed and remain closed to keep people safe before we begin bashing our the CEO. That's not acceptable to me. I just want to make sure it's clear from everyone who hears and all else we want to go to. This is what we're saying today. Sorry, just get off my soapbox.
Thank you.
Thank you very much for saying that. I agree that we have to do what we need to do. I mean, we've all been talking about this with our family and everything else, and it's not getting any better right now. So that's my two cents.
Yeah, and I also think our next meeting is kind of fortuitously timed so that it's a couple weeks after Christmas, and we really might start to see cases go down, and people may not all be back in school, or they're just getting back to school. So I don't want to say optimistic these days, but hopefully we have some good news to talk about a month from now. I was wondering if anyone like has heard anything negative from the public, because I was reading those comments on our ad saying we were closing the building, and they're like incredibly positive. And I've also been kind of knocking on some doors lately, and I always ask people, you know, what they think, and it's been universally understanding. I worry about the homeless population, the people who really, really, really need our space. And my only suggestion would be maybe if someone at the library could, and maybe it's my job, I guess, reach out to like PADS or someone who would hear maybe from the unhoused community if it's causing problems or not.
That's a good idea. I tend to agree that I do agree emphatically that we should remain closed at least till the end of the calendar year, and probably into January. I mean, I think we should make a decision at our January meeting. The Thanksgiving surge is just hitting us now, so I think things are going to get worse before they get better. And the availability of a vaccine is not in any sense certain. So yeah, I think we need to stay closed to the public and under the same circumstances that exist, that pertain at the moment.
Well, I'm sorry, does anyone else want to say anything? The January meeting is the 12th, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we should, I mean, obviously we're all following the numbers. We should have a good sense at that time of what New Year's has wrought on that. And we can decide again in January what we want to do.
I just wanted to say one more thing. I'm really glad that we have the drive-up available, and that makes a lot of difference to the people who want to get their books and do the returning and all that. I've heard good response from people that I know that at least have that opportunity to use that. So I think what Jean said was really great in response, and said everything that is open, and we're not totally closed, and we're still helping people along the way. So that's all. Thank you.
And the drive-up windows seem to be heavily used, in my experience anyway. Whenever I've used them, there has always been a line of five or six cars to get to the drive-up window. And invariably, the transaction is easy. I mean, and it's safe, too. I was surprised that, you know, that one's library card number can be read through the window by the lady and the... behind that window. That was wonderful. I thought we would be, you know, shouting our library numbers. That didn't happen. I'm just really, really, in these circumstances, I'm as happy as I can be about the way the library is addressing itself to these circumstances. Yeah.
The drive-up window is not just for picking up or returning books. Materials that, of course, as I mentioned, the printing service goes to
yes, that. Yes.
Also, our kits. You know, a lot of the children's uh-huh. programs have a kit that goes along with it.
Yes.
So when you register for the program, you come by the drive-through and you pick up the kit, one kit per child for registration. You know, so that they can do it. And so our staff is putting these kits together. Quite a bit, quite a few that staff have to put together here to make these programs so successful, so that there's so now we're having interact not just an audience, now it's participatory and it's interactive, and these are the things that do keep so many of our services going. Oh, even like the media banks. Jean mentioned that in her response, which has the latest DVDs in them, and it's a self-serve thing, you know, here at the main library at RACO, they're outside, so people can get them themselves. But at South Elgin and here at Maine, they're inside, but staff are retrieving them for people. People can still put holds on those mm-hmm. through our system, and the staff will go get them out of the machine and bring them to the drive-up window.
Mm-hmm.
So, it was very, I think, Kevin, you know, really, I'll say Gail Borden was cutting edge back in 2001 when this building was designed to put a drive-up window like that, because not many libraries had drive-up windows at that time. And when I came here, there wasn't the staff or the money to staff it, but that was one of my highest priorities, is to get that drive-up window up and running. So when it was time to, when we built the RACO branch, we wanted that to be a very self-service building, and we were afraid that there'd be more people in the building than we could handle because it was a smaller square footage. So there was no question we were going to have a drive-up window there. And they're the safest kind of drive-up window. You know, a lot of libraries, you know, it's just an opening. You know, now they do have drive-up, you know, we have a bank drive-up window. So it's very, very safe, and that's why we could open it up in May. That was the first thing we did open, because staff did feel protected behind the glass and everything like that. So Anyway, little segue there.
Also, let me just say that the patrons seem to have been very cooperative too. I'd like to call them patrons. When I signed up for, I put holds on books that I wanted to read and saw that I was, you know, like number 11. And I thought, oh my God, each of these people is going to take a month and it's going to be, you know, it's going to be summertime. People seem to be reading the books and returning, you know, almost at once. I was tremendously surprised and happy.
Well, when we have been closed, we have been lowering the ratio of holds. In other words, buy more books to fulfill those holds.
Oh, that's good too.
The same thing, you know, with Hoopla.
We
have increased the number for a month that people can select, you know, for the streaming and all of that. And because that is a pay-per-use that the library
takes.
Yeah. But we've upped that because, you know, we just to be able to give people more resources.
Well, I think in conclusion, what the only thing that I want to say about this is I really think we're doing the best we know how right now in these circumstances to try and take care of our patrons, to try and keep the people in the library, the staff of the library busy, being able to still do their jobs and also keep them safe. So we'll just continue on until January and see where we are then and do another review like this at that time.
Does the board want to decide on a date of a closure through, you're talking about closing the end of the year or into January or to the board meeting or?
Well, I think we have to at least go through the board meeting so we can talk about it again.
Probably then I would say the earliest to open, because you know it's hard to open it if the board decides to say we're going to open tomorrow morning. It's a little bit hard to mobilize everybody. Mm-hmm. So I would say the earliest perhaps would be the 14th of that. That's a Thursday.
2 days after our meeting.
Yeah. So if the board felt that. The library could reopen at that time. They could. Now, of course, let's put a little caveat in here, too. If things just are wonderful, these predictions do not come true as far as spikes and everything like that, and things keep dropping, you know, they drop, then certainly I would think the board would consider opening earlier. But we just have to see what, and of course, you know, we follow the guidance of the governor. And, you know, if he's rolling back tier three or, you know, allowing larger groups and all that kind of thing, then, you know, that's something to take into consideration, too. So.
Yeah.
I think one thing, when there's the reelection and people are supposed to be bringing in their packets on the 14th, I think, through the 21st, how do people do that?
Nancy can respond
good
to that.
What we're going to do is we're going to have a sign up and the people can call and we will come down. You'll call security. Security will then contact me and I'll meet you downstairs and they'll let you in and we'll take care of the packets. And I'll be available from 9 to 4:30. The 14th through the 18th, and then the 21st, it'll be till 5 o'clock.
So, just to review, you said they call security?
Yeah, we'll have a number. It'll be a number out on the window. Just call that number. Tell them you're there to file your candidate packet, and we'll take it from there, and we'll meet you at the door.
And, Nancy, you probably would be down there at 9 o'clock that first morning, correct?
The first morning we will be there. You won't have to call. We will be there for anyone who's there at 9 o'clock when we normally would open.
But otherwise, the number will be posted on the door.
Correct.
Yeah.
Okay, that sounds fair enough. Good question, though. Thanks for remembering, because I was thinking about that yesterday. So many challenges right now. Okay, so do we need to have a formal vote tonight. I guess we're going to have to keep doing that every time that we continue to stay close. So I will, let's see, what did we say, January 14th?
14th, yes.
Okay. I will accept a motion to keep the library buildings closed to the public until January 14th.
So moved. Second.
Okay. Did we have enough discussion on that?
Second.
Roll call.
Garcia?
Yes.
Harkin?
Yes.
Henderson?
Yes.
Kocouris?
Yes.
Kruger?
Yes.
Bednar?
Yes. All right. Let's see here. Now we have, we're moving on to our levy. Let's see, this is an action item. I will accept a motion to approve ordinance 2020-12-1, an ordinance abating the tax heretofore levy to pay debt service on bonds.
So moved.
Okay, I'll second.
Okay. Mandy, you said that so confidently.
I believe in Sarah.
Okay, do we have someone besides me with my fried brain that can talk about this right now?
Sarah Johnson.
I didn't have anything really prepared for this. Basically, we passed the referendum in March, so that's increasing our operating rate. So the operating rate will be able to cover the bond for the 2020 levy year. So we're abating the bond levy, which means we're basically canceling it out. The ordinance, I contacted our attorney, gave him copies of the original ordinances so that he could put this one together for us. So our attorney at Ansel Glink put this together. So it's basically zeroing out the 2020 levy for the bond fund because it will be covered in the operating just for this year. And then we'll be done with our last payment December of 21.
And I think when we were in the truth and taxation hearing, did you mention this by saying that there was like zero taxes or something? Did you make a reference to it?
There will not be a bond portion of the tax this year for the library.
Okay.
And I'll talk about it more when we get to the next section.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So we have a motion and a second. Any questions or comments? Oh, roll call.
Garcia?
Yes.
Harkin?
Yes.
Henderson?
Yes.
Kocouris?
Yes.
Kruger?
Yes.
Bednar?
Yes. All right. I will accept a motion to approve ordinance 2020-12-2, levy and assessment of taxes. Now we're talking money.
So moved.
Second.
Okay. We have a motion and a second. Questions? Explanations?
Brian, why don't you put that worksheet up on the screen, and then Sarah can go through it. You all got a copy of this in your book packet, and Sarah can go through this.
All right, so this is basically the culmination of our budget year. So what you have in front of you is all of the figures that we've worked with this year. So starting with the funds on the side, these are the funds that we levy taxes for, general fund, IMRF, Social Security, et cetera. The first column is our working or operating budget that was approved by the board in September. The final was approved in September. And so this is basically the spending that we're expecting to do for this fiscal year. Normally we come in under budget, which I like. So this is showing the operating budget and then the bond payment. And then that will be the total with the bonds, the $16,615,600. So that's our working / operating budget for the year. The second column is the appropriation. Now the appropriation is our legal spending limit. So this was set out in our budget appropriation ordinance that you also approved in September. And the appropriation, like I said, is our legal spending limit for the fiscal year. It's higher than the actual working budget. And the reason that we appropriate higher than our actual operating budget is in case we come into revenues that we're not expecting. You know, the working budget is based on the revenues that we're expecting to get. But if we had a windfall, somebody gave us $1 million, if we don't appropriate for that, we can't spend it. So we appropriate high in case we come into revenue that we're not expecting so that we can go ahead and spend it appropriately. So the next two columns are levy amounts. The first one is the levy that we're proposing tonight for 2020, which will be taxes extended next year. And the last column is the 2019 levy, so you can see the comparison between the two. So you see that the total levy for 2020, we're going to request $17,200,000. We won't get $17,200,000, but we want to make sure that we levy high enough so that we can capture the operating rate that we that was passed by the voters in March, so the 0.486 limit for the operating rate for the levy year 2020. So you can see the levy for 2019 has an operating budget levy and then the bond levy and then the total. So we won't be doing that separate bond levy. It'll be included in the total levy of the $17,200,000. So and then down at the bottom are some previous years and how what we levied and then what we were extended by the counties. And normally we don't include bonds because bonds kind of took care of themselves. It's part of the bond ordinance, the levy portion. So the county just took care of all that basically and added it on. So this year it'll be different. So I kind of gave you an illustration of what we asked for last year in operating and then what we were extended in operating and then what we were extended including the bonds last year. So you can kind of see the difference in the dollars. Like I said, we will be capped at the 0.486 operating rate. The calculation this year will be different. Usually the tax extension is calculated by the counties by taking your prior year tax extension and then adding CPI and then adding any new property. But that is not our formula this year because we have a voter-approved referendum rate. So we'll be basically starting again at 0.486, and then whatever is extended this year will be our basis for years going forward. Does anybody have questions on that?
Thank you for that explanation. That was very helpful. And this spreadsheet, too. You understand it so well, Sarah.
Well, thank you. It is my job.
I know. That doesn't mean you're good at explaining it, though, as you are.
And actually, this was a worksheet that I made up for myself. I can't remember, Carol, how many years ago I made it up for myself, and I was showing it to Carol and going through it with her, and she's like, we need to show this to the board because it explains it. So I'm like, okay. So,
yep. All right. So remember this, because next year when we see it, we'll, you know, this is what we'll picture in our minds, and we can understand the differences then. Anybody have questions for Sarah? Okay. I think we're ready for roll call then.
Garcia?
Yes.
Harkins? You're muted, Patty.
Still muted.
Yes.
There we go. Henderson?
Yes.
Kokoris?
Yes.
Kruger?
Yes.
Bednar?
Yes. All right, all done with the levy. Okay, number nine, I gotta make sure I'm following the agenda here. I'm following my other sheet. Yes, okay. Let's get the motion first. I will accept a motion to close library operations for the 2020 Christmas and New Year's weekends. Christmas on Friday, I think.
Friday, yeah.
So Christmas Eve, Christmas, is that it? Christmas and then weekend. So that's basically what we're talking about 2 weeks in a row.
So move.
Second.
All right. Carol, did you want to?
Sure. The paid holidays for the library staff are Christmas Eve, Christmas Day, New Year's Eve, New Year's Day. That's in the policy. Because of all the circumstances of this year, and you know, it's been very stressful. Let's face it. And December is our quietest month, even pre-COVID. You know, out of our 12 months, December is when we see the least amount of attendance. And on top of that, being the buildings being closed, so I thought it might be a nice perk for the staff to just kind of unplug for the whole weekend. So that the paid days would be Thursday, Friday, both weeks. Saturday, Sunday, that's not paid. We're not adding more holidays, more paid holidays here. There was some concern about some of our staff having working the weekend and then not wanting to have their paycheck reduced. If they couldn't make up the hours, you know, some can make up the hours, some don't care. You know, they go, great, it's Christmas. You know, I was talking to department head and saying some don't care about the money, but others do. So what we are going to do is, if in fact staff feel they can't make up the hours at another time, we're just going to leave our job board open and they can work some hours on the weekend to make that up. We will have that throughout the library in all departments. So if you want to unplug, fine. And if you don't and feel you want to make up some those hours that you normally would work on Saturday, Sunday, you can. Because we will have work that you can do at home. The buildings will be closed, though, to staff. So right now our buildings are open to the staff but for those 2 weekends. So good cheer at this time to be able to do this for our staff.
Yeah, so the staff comes up with these ideas, obviously, but Carol runs this by me, and I told her, you know, of all the years, I can't imagine that, you know, everybody's feeling angst and feeling fear and all kinds of things, and I think if we're ever going to do this, this is a great time to give people a couple extra days. I mean, even if you can't do anything during those 2 days, at least you don't have to think about.
And let me just stress here, this is not a managerial decision to say, Susie, you need to put some hours in on the weekend. This will be an individual employee decision if they so choose that they feel that they this is the only way they can make up the hours, and they want to. It won't be a manager saying, you must work the weekend. No, it won't be. It'll be the employee's decision.
Okay. Any questions? Comments? Okay. Roll call.
Sorry. Garcia?
Yes.
Arkin?
Yes.
Henderson?
Yes.
Kokoris?
Yes.
Kruger?
Yes.
Bednar?
Yes.
Check. Okay. Next on our agenda, number 10. Is going into executive session, and number 11 is coming out of executive session, and we are not going to do that tonight because we simply ran into a technical glitch with being able to do an executive session on Zoom, which we have actually figured out how to fix, but by the time it was figured out, the Zoom link for tonight's meeting had already been sent, and it requires having a different link, so we are moving that to January. So,
very good.
Be prepared for the executive session in January, which is, by the way, for personnel and not a raise, as was suggested earlier. It has to do with personnel review. So, I guess we are all the way at number 12, other. And I have another.
I have another.
Can I just mention this? I can't show it, unfortunately, but on my Facebook memories today, it actually said, this is what I saw when I walked into my library meeting tonight, and it was a video of a big choral group in our rotunda singing. Last year, I think it was, and I was like, oh, the things we take for granted.
Yes.
It's a lovely experience to walk through that beautiful singing.
Yeah.
Music on the way to my meeting.
Well, I was already talking to Sadie about that, doing that next year. So,
yay.
Yay.
Good.
Gonna do it. Okay. All right. Anybody else have an other?
I have a quick other. This is a shout out to Glenna Godinsky and Jeannie Ziegler for a suggestion. As many of you know, the library has a program whereby people sew or knit blankets for the Welcome Baby program that the library has had. But with the building being closed, et cetera, that, and also I gather there's a huge superfluity of blankets. A lot of people have made them, and we have more than we can use. So Glenna suggested that we make something called twiddle knits for her seniors who are in memory care programs at various levels of need for memory care. And I wish I had one to show you. I'm not going to take the time to get it. But it's like one of those gloves that you can use to telephone with. The fingers and the thumb stick out. And the person puts it on her wrist, and then you knit them, and you add little things that people can center with. If they want to play with a button or anything. And so anyway, I've made three actually, and we're setting about figuring out a way to get them to Glenna. Maybe we can put them through the little return book place. Somebody meet us at the door. Anyway, we are making it, and the AAUW has a knitting group, and they're inclined to join. So I just really think it was a lovely idea of Glenna's, and especially all of the work that Glenna does for memory care people is very, very important to me, and I'm really I'm happy to participate in this. It's really a lot of fun to do, too. That's all.
Right. Thank you. Anybody else?
I have another. I'll be last. Tiffany, you go first. I'll be last.
Oh, I just wanted to quickly say that when we do return to a sense of normalcy, and we have these choral singers, that Amanda must go back into the rotunda and play and sing for us.
Oh, yes.
Yes, and you too, Tiffany.
And you too, Tiffany, yes.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm retired. No, I'm retired.
No.
You can come out of retirement.
All right, it's being recorded now, so now you have to.
Yes, sure.
All right. Yeah, the other I've had is that time?
John has another.
Oh, John. Oh, I'm sorry.
No, you can go. You seem eager.
No, I just want to make sure that because you'll just love, in quotes, what I have to say here.
Uh-oh. It's always good to end on a good note, but John, do you have a good note? Do you want to just go ahead?
I'll go, I guess. I just wanted to say I've completed my first month as trustee, and I appreciate everyone on this in this call who's helped me figure things out, and also a couple of staff members who I had the pleasure of chatting with, and it's been, I'm a heavy user of Gail Borden, but I have my own little, like, lane that I usually stick to. So now I'm kind of snooping around and watching old programs and stuff, And it's just really amazing everything the library does, and it's been like eye-opening, the stuff that I've somehow missed coming to the library like multiple times a week and still not noticed. But so I guess that's all I have to say. Oh, and also that the silver lining of this COVID business, which is obviously horrible, is that it's forcing people like me to kind of get out of our comfort zone and try new library services. And it may be also helping the library be more creative. So I'm looking forward to stuff that changes permanently even after all this COVID goes.
Yes.
Yes. Like Elda's hot chocolate bombs every year. Yeah. Thank you, John. I know it's not ideal to join the board during the time when you can't even really go in the library. So forward to more exciting days ahead. All right, anybody else? Carol?
Okay. Well, it's that time of year, although they've extended the deadline for the per capita grant. And normally, it used to be in October, but the last couple of years it's been due in January, and they've moved it to March. If you remember, we would give you parts of this book called Standards of Illinois Public, Serving Our Public, Standards for Illinois Public Libraries. And it was like two chapters a year. Well, this year they put out a new edition, and they want the board to go through the entire book.
Oh, you had to save that for last.
Yes. I'm trying to figure out the best way to do this. The grant does say that the director and the board is supposed to review everything in here. And, you know, the chapters are very short. There's a lot of appendices, so you can skip that.
Yeah.
The chapters are very short, and then there's a checklist. And Sarah Sable has already been working on this and determining where we excel and where we could improve. But I still would feel better if you had the opportunity to review this. So Nancy and I were just talking today. We might be able to send you something. If any of you want a hardcover book, they're on back order, but they say they're supposed to come anytime. But if you would like a hardcover book, you know, let me know, and we can order one through the Illinois Library Association for you. I have one extra so if anyone would like to just, you know, see it, and I can put it at the drive-up window, you know. So anyway, but that's coming down the pike, and that is definitely going to be on the January meeting. I have a feeling the January meeting might be kind of long, so brace yourself.
Like yeah. Am I still FOIA officer? Does anybody know?
Pardon?
Am I still FOIA officer? Does anybody know? I think my term might have expired. I'm, you know, that's what's in that book, all the FOIA rules. And
Nancy,
I would have to take a look. I believe you are.
So far, then I'd like to have that book, please.
In reality, our FOIA, our staff that handle the FOIAs are Nancy and Sarah Sable.
Yeah, I know it. Yeah. But it has to be a board member too, doesn't it?
A board member's name, yes. You know,
yes.
But
okay. Well, I'm happy to
check the logistics because there's timing involved and getting the things, you know, in a particular time frame. We're required to do that by law.
Yeah. Okay, so I do need to see those rules because, you know, they come up. Yes, they do.
Yes, they do. Okay. All right. Is that your good news for us, Carol?
That's it. That's my good news, yes.
Okay, it's always good to end on a happy note. The homework note.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, then let's see. Where's my agenda? I guess I will accept a motion to adjourn.
So move.
Yeah.
Is that a second, Tiffany?
Okay. Who's second?
Okay.
Wait. I moved and Tiffany seconded.
All right.
Garcia?
Yes.
Perkin?
Yes.
Henderson?
Yes.
Kokoris?
Yes.
Kruger?
Yes.
Bednar?
Yes. All right. Thank you, everyone. We are adjourned.